this is your Polycast for Wednesday, February 8th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a former business leader and prominent Republican dies, and the legislative auditor wraps the stadium authority. Former CEO of TCF Bank, Bill Cooper, has died. Minnesota Republican Party Chair Keith Downey says Cooper died Tuesday night. Cooper was involved in Republican Party politics for years and was the chair of the state party in the 1990s. He first became CEO of TCF in 1985. In 2005, he stepped down as CEO, and in 2008, he came back. Cooper was born in Detroit in 1943. He was known for his blunt speaking style. A new legislative auditor's report is highly critical of the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority and its use of a pair of suites in U.S. Bank Stadium. The report is setting off a new skirmish in the years-long battle over the Viking Stadium and the $500 million of taxpayer money that helped build it. Tim Nelson has more.
The audit calls some of the founding principles of the MSFA into question, including its role in running the $1.1 billion building. It was set up to own and operate what Governor Mark Dayton initially called the People's Stadium. Yet the audit found an exclusive group of stadium officials, their relatives, and friends were getting a pass to see Vikings games and concerts. Legislative Auditor James Nobles told lawmakers it was wrong.
They did not violate the law, but we think every public official, every public organization, whether the law applies or not, has to uphold core ethical principles, and we don't think the authority did.
That brought withering questioning from lawmakers for both Michelle Kelm-Helgen, the chair of the Stadium Authority, and Ted Mondale, the former state legislator and now executive director of the Stadium Authority. Lawmakers wanted to know the market value of the suite seats, noting that comparable luxury accommodations could run hundreds of thousands of dollars per Viking season. They also wanted to know why the MSFA was involved in selling the stadium to prospective users when the building has a professional management and marketing firm. State Senator Mary Kiffmeyer, a Republican from Big Lake, asked Mondale why his wife and son were repeatedly watching Vikings games from the agency's suite, ostensibly a marketing tool to woo business for the stadium.
Could you please explain the marketing purpose of those different events for those Mondale folks?
Madam Chair, there are none, and nor did I claim that.
For her part, the chair of the Stadium Authority expressed contrition and said a new policy was in place, banning friends and family. Kelm-Helgen says she's dedicated to more transparency going forward.
I've had a moral compass that has guided all my decisions, and I just want to be really clear. We can make mistakes and we can misjudge that practices that have been done and seemed like was okay for many years change. And I definitely heard it and I changed it.
She also told lawmakers that she felt there was good reason to have an agency like hers and that the state does have an interest in overseeing the $500 million taxpayer investment in the building. Kelm-Helgen told lawmakers that without the Stadium Authority to represent the public, the stadium's management company, SMG, and the Vikings might not make accommodations for non-revenue events like high school baseball and inline skating. She also offered, as an example, a proposal by SMG and the Vikings to ring the stadium with a permanent security fence, a proposal that she opposes.
Aside from objecting to millions of dollars in costs to construct this permanent barrier, we have argued that it just makes no sense to fence off a public building from the public itself.
Governor Mark Dayton, who appointed most of the Stadium Authority, defended Kelm-Helgen in the panel in a statement issued in response to the legislative auditor's report. Dayton said he welcomes the findings, but noted that he still considered the project an overwhelming success. He said he expected a few legislators would, quote, ignore these accomplishments and instead deride and impugn the dedicated public officials who made these successes possible. Nonetheless, the stadium bill's original 2012 author, Julie Rosen, a Republican senator from Vernon Center, said that she will push a reform bill and that she wants to reboot the Stadium Authority, including replacing Kelm-Helgen. Covering politics, I'm Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Governor Mark Dayton has opted for surgery to remove his prostate after a recent cancer diagnosis. Brian Baxter reports.
Dayton posted on his Facebook page that he would have the surgery on March 2nd at the Mayo Clinic. He says he will need to spend a night in the hospital, but expects to remain in contact with staff and the lieutenant governor throughout his stay in Rochester. It's unclear how much recuperation time Dayton will need after the surgery. Test shows that the cancer has not spread beyond the prostate. Dayton says he hopes the surgery will remove any threat from the cancer. Doctors had also presented him with the option of radiation. Dayton turned 70 last month and has dealt with other health complications throughout his 6 years in office. The DFLer says this term will be his last. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
A new push to curb cell phone use by Minnesota drivers would make it illegal to use anything other than hands-free devices. A bill outlined yesterday has bipartisan sponsors and the support of safety advocates in the insurance industry. Republican Representative Jim Neuberger of Becker is a paramedic, says he's seen firsthand the aftermath of distracted driving.
We are not taking away your right to speak on the phone in the car. You can still talk on the phone. You just have to be hands-free.
The proposal would build off a texting while driving ban already in place. It calls for escalating penalties depending on how often a driver is caught breaking the law. There would be exemptions for devices used exclusively for navigational purposes and calls made to emergency responders. A state Senate committee is considering real ID legislation, Tim Pugmire reports.
In the first of two scheduled hearings, members of the Senate Judiciary Committee heard testimony on a bill that would move the state toward compliance with the federal Real ID law. Supporters want the new security standards underway before enforcement begins next year at airports. But opponent Jim Harper, vice president of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, warned lawmakers not to let the federal government take away their authority over driver's licenses.
It's taking power from you that you won't get back if you cede it to the federal government.
The bill allows those with data privacy concerns to opt for a non-compliant license. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Four candidates have been nominated for four open seats on the University of Minnesota's Board of Regents. They now face a vote by a joint session of the House and Senate. Peter Cox reports.
Three current regents and a familiar political name won the nominations. Former House Speaker Steve Sfigum was nominated by a member of the House Higher Education Committee. Current regents Darren Rocha and David McMillan sailed through, while Regent Thomas Devine barely edged out General Mills CEO Ken Powell. Next, a joint session of the full House and Senate will vote on candidates for the four seats. Those candidates could be the four just nominated, or the session could bring up other nominees, including those not named before, and candidates that didn't make it through the prior process. Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.